Comfort zones. We all have them. Whether we like it or not, we have them. And it's quite often evidenced by the things that people say and do. There are some who have a comfort zone about staying at home on Sunday night instead of coming to services. It's obvious. We won't talk about them. Obviously, we can't talk to them because they're not here. So I want to talk about some other comfort zones, some dangerous comfort zone. A comfort zone is an environment or a situation in which a person or a group of people feel secure or at ease. Now, I think, and I think I'm right, that we all want to feel secure. When you have a little baby, and you have that child, and you give him a little blankie to hold on to, and that's his little security blanket, and the child holds to that blanket and cuddles with it because he feels secure. It's part of our makeup to want to be secure. And part of us feel secure when we are at ease or at comfort. I want to ask you about a couple of situations in your life, and you probably took part in these situations. Think way back to your first date. You can remember that far back? Come on. Your first date, were you comfortable? Now, my palms were sweaty. I have no idea what the young lady's name was. But I know that I was outside of my comfort zone. Let's get a little more intimate. What about your first kiss? I remember when one of my younger brothers came to me and my best friend and said, you know, I like that girl. Good. That's a good thing. But he says, I don't really know how to kiss her. And so my best friend looked at him, and this was a family joke for several years. He says, what do you want me to do, kiss you and show you how? And he says, no, I'm just not comfortable with the girl. Well, at 12, 13, 14 years old, however old he was, it was right after we got past the yuck stage. Ooh, girl's yuck. But he was not comfortable. What about the first time you drove a car? I know, looking forward to driving a vehicle. It didn't have to be a car. I'd been on tractors and stuff like that. And my dad said, hey, jump in the truck, and I'll teach you how to drive. Well, he surprised me. Took me out there in the field. We got in the field, and he says, I'm going to teach you to drive. I said, Daddy, this is a field. He said, son, if you can drive the way I want you to drive out here, you'll be able to drive anywhere. And he put it in reverse and said, now let's go. I was very uncomfortable because not only did I have to work the clutch and the gas, didn't have to worry about the gear shift, but then I had to look backwards while I'm driving, out of my comfort zone. Moving ahead a few years, got involved in some things, did some things that other people might think were uncomfortable, but they were in my comfort zone. I've always been at home in the water, so I spent some time in the water and got some education in that area and everything, but then I became a member of the body of Christ. And I had an opportunity that every man, I think, that's a part of the body of Christ should look forward to at some point, to be able to speak. And so the general practice was for the young men to prepare and someone to look over their outline and give them an opportunity to speak, to see if they want to pursue perhaps some time in the pulpit or at a class. And I remembered I worked hard. I worked real hard. And I have no idea the subject. I remember two things about that particular sermon. The worst thunderstorm that you can imagine came up that night. And the first thing I thought of, if the lights go out, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the second thing is that all of my preparation, and I had a full sermon, full blown, it lasted every bit of about 9 minutes. It's because I was so far out of my comfort zone. Now, in the church today, a lot of young men lead singing before they ever think about preaching. I preached a number of sermons and quite a few times been called on to fill in. And somebody says, hey, come on, get up here and help lead the singing. Well, that was out of my comfort zone, and sometimes still is. Now, comfort zones in many ways can seem to be a blessing. Some people don't want to step out of those comfort zones, but comfort zones can also be very dangerous. Because sometimes we want to and we force ourselves to stay in our comfort zone to the point that we become too complacent. We become lazy. In short, we become ineffective Christians. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Some dangerous comfort zones. Some become so comfortable today that they think, such as the man in Luke chapter 12, verse 19. They become so comfortable and everything is so good and they don't want to change it, so they think within themselves, eat, drink, and be merry, because we're doing so well. Things are going along just fine. Why rock the boat? He said in Luke chapter 12, verse 19, the man said to himself, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now stop and think, how'd that work out? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Some become so comfortable today that they think that what they do and how they do it are close enough. Now I know that there are some folks here who worked for the government for a while. And I suspect that while they were here, as a matter of fact, I've heard one of them say this, that a phrase that was offensive to one who worked for the government or served the government is, it's close enough for government work. Isn't that right? It's because that really doesn't tell the real story. People today, Christians, think that what they do and how they do it, that's close enough. It's going to make it. Well, who's setting the standard here? I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. We know that Revelation, the first part of it there, the first few chapters, are the letters that are written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, written by the pen of John as directed by the Lord or the angel of the Lord. And to the church at Sardis, he writes, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. Why? For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, someone's going to quickly say, none of our works can be perfect. We can't be perfect. But that's not what that word means. It doesn't mean without fault. It means complete. In other words, they had stopped short of the goal. They had stopped short of the mark. And he told them, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. We've got to make sure that our work is not just close enough, but that it hits the mark. We're to strive. We're to get out of our comfort zone and work. Some become so comfortable today, they think that they have all they need, and therefore they do not need God. We're going to stay in the book of Revelation. We're going to go to verse 17. But it's like people today, as long as things are going well, and they look what I've been able to accomplish. I've gotten that bonus. I've gotten that raise. I've gotten this. I've gotten that. I've been able to amass such and such and this and that. Well, look what Laodicea said. We usually, when we think about Laodicea, we think about the lukewarm, don't we? What did they say? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know what? Sometimes our own perception of ourselves may not be correct. I've done it. You've done it. And don't say you haven't. You stand up, you look in the mirror, and you say, oh, what a good looking fellow. That's our perception, right? Sometimes we're legends in our own minds. Laodicea was a legend in its own mind. Look at me. I'm rich. I'm increased with good. I have need of nothing. What's the truth of the matter with Laodicea? I would that thou wert either cold or hot, because that thou art cold, or because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Some become so comfortable today, they think just a little bit of sin won't hurt. You know, it's just a little sin. We were talking today about our present situation and the laws that were passed, and oftentimes we look upon those who are participating in the sin of homosexuality as a grave sin. But then we stop and consider the fact that sin with God is sin. Sin is transgression of the law, and those who are cohabitating are in sin. No different, is it? Lost is lost, saved is saved. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, we see what iniquity does for us. We see what sin does for us. As the prophet there talks to Israel, reminding them, as God had done time and time again through several different prophets, to come back, to repent. He said to them, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. In other words, they had started out with just a little sin. What happens is eventually the sin will envelop their whole life. Remember what Jesus said, or what Paul wrote, as the Spirit guided him, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Some people are in that comfort zone, just a little sin won't hurt. By the same token, there are some who are in their comfort zones and they think, hey, everybody backslides some. It's not really a problem when I do. I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5. Know that it had to start somewhere. When Jeremiah writes the words given to him of the Spirit to write to these people of Jerusalem, notice what it was regarding. It was regarding backsliding. He said, why then is this the people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. Listen, when a person gets turned and they begin to backslide and they don't check it, it's disastrous. There's a well-known mountain in the south. It has a relief on the front of it, carved by a number of different people over several different years. It's called Stone Mountain. And now there's a fence around the perimeter up high at Stone Mountain. The reason that it's there is because these young men, trying to impress their girlfriends, trying to impress their buddies, they began to, several years ago by the way, began to see who could get a little further down the crest of that rock and still be safe. I suspect it didn't take but three or four of them going persplat at the bottom for somebody to say, you know what, we got to put a fence up here. The deal is, when you start to slide, sometimes it's hard to stop. Everybody backslides some. If you have that in your part of your comfort zone, you need to check it. Some are so comfortable that they think they're alive and well, but in reality, they're dead inside. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. This, of course, is to the angel of Sardis. What we have it is a description here of spiritual zombies. And I know that's a popular subject right now, and many movies are made about those kind of things. But this is a very serious thing. There are those who are comfortable, that they think that they are alive and well, but in reality are dead. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. They're comfortable with that. But they shouldn't be. All of this comfort damages our relationships. It damages our academic pursuits. It damages our careers. And most importantly, it damages our walk with God. But there's also some dangerous comfort zones that'll cripple a church from the inside. We've all known of congregations, we've been part of some congregations, that just can't seem to grow. It's perhaps because of some dangerous comfort zones. Some are comfortable in thinking, you know, I go to church, therefore I'm a good Christian. My name is on the roll. your name might be on the roll in the building. But there's a song in the songbook that asks the question, is my name written there? That's the one we need to worry about. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. It's the one that is important to have your name written in. In Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13, we'll see the attitude of some of Israel. We'll see the attitude of some people today, even though this was written many, many years ago, because it was repeated in the Gospels by our Lord. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. These people are in their comfort zone, and they have deceived themselves, thinking that all is well in the kingdom of God. Know that all is well in the kingdom of God from a spiritual standpoint. The body of Christ is strong from a spiritual standpoint. The spiritual side of the church is perfect. The physical side of the church is where the problems exist. You cannot become comfortable by thinking, well, I attend services or I go to church there, and so I'm a good Christian. Some in the church comfort themselves by thinking, I'm a Christian, that's all I need to be. That'll have to be enough. Just because you were born into the family of God does not guarantee you a place in heaven. Oh, now when you came up out of the watery grave of baptism, your sins have been washed away. You were as pure as you're ever going to be. But we've got to work. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we'll see that we are to work. Now it tells us there that we are His workmanship, but it also says we are created in Christ Jesus. We know that we were born into the family of God, as I said before, when we were baptized into Christ. But notice what it says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not be baptized, take a pew, and wait for heaven. We have got to be involved in good works. And the best work is spreading the gospel. Oh, but I don't know how to do that. It's out of my comfort zone. Well, can you invite somebody? One of the things that impressed me just before my introduction to the Church of Christ, when I walked in the secure knowledge that one church was good as another, I found out later that not to be the case, was the fact that I was not preached to until such time as I came into the building. It was simply an invitation. And then when I got there, it's that that went on inside that impressed me even more. We can't just sit back and wait. Some are most comfortable in just coming and going as it pleases them with no strings attached. They want to be those floating around from congregation to congregation. I like to check things out. I like to know what's going on in various places. Well, give me a report. Let me know what's going on. Let us know what's going on. But you have to be a member somewhere. Because when you're not a member and you're just visit, you're not being tied to the work of a particular congregation. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Yes, we're all Christians, and it doesn't matter where we meet, as long as we're meeting with the body of Christ, there are Christians there also. However, work needs to be handled in each location. And it's up to those who are in that location to do the work. And the problem with many congregations today is the attitude, because somebody is in a comfort zone and they say, somebody will get it done. Some are outside of their comfort zone and take offense when the truth is proclaimed, and especially when it's against what they say or do. I've had people to say to me, "Boy, you really stepped on my toes." And the first time or two that it happened, I almost said, "I'm sorry." But after that, I got to where I said stuff like, "Keep your toes where they belong." Because if the truth hits you, then it should. One time, I came out and a lady says, "Boy, you really preached at me today." And I left her with her mouth open because I said, "Well, thank you very much. You must have needed it." What does 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 tell us? It tells us what we are to proclaim, how we are to proclaim it, and when we are to proclaim it. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word." That tells us what? What are we to preach? Stories? No, we can use stories to make a point. We can use stories to get the point across, or that so people will remember it. But we're to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. When it's convenient to do so, when it's not convenient to do so. When you step on people's toes and when you don't step on people's toes. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine. We are to reprove, rebuke, but we're also to exhort, to build up, but we're to do it with longsuffering and we're to do it with doctrine. And you cannot preach the word if you don't preach doctrine. Why? Well, it tells us why. We have seen it, we will see it again. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I know of a congregation that says, "We won't hire a preacher unless he went to that school." Really? It should be that we won't hire a preacher unless we know he's going to preach the truth. I know some people that graduated high school with me, even lower on the list than I was, that should not have graduated high school. But they had the same ring I had. They had the same little piece of paper. They wore the funny little hat just like I did. We all received that. But the point is, what did they do with it afterwards? What did I do with it? Got the sweat off my brow, went to work. Got some more sweat. Didn't see the need for the additional education, which I had now. But this particular situation is they will draw people to them. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will find teachers who teach the things that they want to. And in verse 4 it says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I picked up a book here recently, and it had sermon outlines in it. Well, after I read 4 sermons, I found about equivalent scripture for one sermon. What I'm saying is that some of the sermon outlines had 2 scriptures. Fables, stories, sayings, things to fill time. But when things are taught properly, and it causes people to realize that perhaps they're in their comfort zone, perhaps it will get the job done. Verse 5 tells us there, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, preach the word," is what it's saying. Some folks think that the elders are picking on them to make them uncomfortable. Or maybe they're thinking the preacher is picking on them. But this particular point in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 goes to the elders, where it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." Why do you submit yourselves to the elders? Not because they are elders. Oh, it has something to do with it. So they should not be in place if they're not qualified to be elders. I heard the term from someone one time that was a great job as describing those who were in the eldership that should not be in the eldership. or those who were acting as elders who should not be acting as elders, de facto elders. They had named themselves elders. But elders, true elders that hold to the truth, they are there to watch for your souls. And do you know that they will give an account? They will be charged for not carrying out that duty that they have taken upon themselves, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Some are out of their comfort zone when work needs to be done. After all, isn't that why we have a preacher? That's the attitude some people have. Now, we're fortunate here that we have some folks who will pitch in when the things need to be done, and not everything gets done, and not everybody knows how to do the same things, and we're not all comfortable doing the same things. I'll tackle most anything, and sometimes the things tackle me. But not everybody is comfortable with that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we'll see that everyone has work to do. As a child, one beautiful Saturday afternoon, my brother and I decided there was nothing to do. And we were raised out in the country, some farmland and stuff around, and we decided there was nothing to do. And it happened to be that my dad was home, and he says, "What's wrong, boys? There's just nothing to do." Guess what we did the rest of the day? We worked. Christians sometimes are in their comfort zone, and their attitude is, "There's nothing to do. Behold," listen, "the fields are white unto harvest, and the laborers are few." And I've had people say, I personally have said it myself, "We've about worn the doors off in this neighborhood, knocking, taping stuff up, talking to people, but guess what? There's still people there. There's work to be done." This particular passage says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of," listen, "every part." There is no way that you can work and just part of you work. Now, you may very well sit down while you work, but all of you has to work. I cannot, when Linda says, "Let's go to bed," I cannot say, "I'm going to leave my head and my hands here, my eyes on the computer screen and my fingers on the keys, and the rest of me is taking a nap." The body has to work together to be effective. Some are out of their comfort zone when they can't just be part of the crowd. Those are the ones who do not make an effort to grow or to be involved in specific work. So, "I just don't want to be a part." It's kind of like the people who witness a crime, and the police come around and they're asking people, "Did you see anything?" Well, I really don't want to get involved. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to get involved in heaven? It's your choice. They want to be a part, but not a noticeable part. "I just want to be a face in the crowd. I want to be a number in the group." They want to blend in so as not to be noticed. Now, not everybody is a leader. We know that. But everybody has work to do. Everybody has a part. Everybody who's part of the body of Christ must work together so that all of the work gets done. People that are such are very uncomfortable with any other arrangement. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, they want to be a part of the number that's called out in this particular passage. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number." They want to be part of that group. "Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes." and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb." You know, we're all going to stand before the throne. And we're all going to be judged. And not everybody's going to be given a white robe. But those who get out of their comfort zone and get involved in the business of Christianity have a greater chance than those who sit back and say, "I just want to be part of the crowd." You know, we don't like it when we're just a number in business. We don't like it when we're just a face in the crowd. We're just blending in. We want to be noticed. What about at our homes? What if nobody noticed us? It's pretty lonely. Again, some have a comfort zone based on the idea that someone always gets the work done. We all have work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, we're told, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in" what? "In the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There are going to be those who occupy space in the church building, who have their name on the literal paper church roll, who are going to stand before God, the judgment bar of God, the judge Jesus Christ, and he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." In fact, we're told in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 that work is a part of salvation. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, I'll be the first to agree that work and work by itself does not save. Will not save. The Bible doesn't teach it. I'm not going to proclaim it. But I'm going to tell you this, and the Bible does teach this, so I'm going to proclaim it and proclaim it loud. If one does not work, he cannot be saved. There's no getting around it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, we're told what kind of work we ought to be involved in, not slothful in business, but it also says fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. This is because according to Ephesians chapter 1 verses 22 and 23, we're following him who is head over all things to the church. And if it gets us a little bit out of our comfort zone, that's what it is to grow. Thinking about comfort zone, remember the first time you ever rode a bicycle? I bet it had two little wheels in the back. Give it a little more stability. They're called training wheels. A lot of Christians today need the training wheels removed. They're old enough. They're big enough. They should be strong enough to pedal the bike and have it stay up. Christ came to do his Father's will, and he did the work of God. He did not shirk his duty. And he set the example for us. He hath, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There are those who are firmly entrenched in their comfort zones, like those of Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. Those who are at ease, but should not be. Sitting back waiting for the reward. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations, to the house of Israel came. These particular people were trusting in something other than the Word of God. There are people today sitting back waiting, trusting in the simple fact that they are called members of the Church of Christ and waiting for the trumpet to sound. They are at ease. Let us as Christians do as instructed in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, and let us examine ourselves. Then let us prove or test ourselves. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. It did not say look to your left, look to your right, examine your brother or your sister. It said examine yourselves. Because you will not be judged for your brother, you will not be judged for your sister, nor will they be judged for you. So examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Are we tonight simply in our little comfort zones? Are we at ease in Zion? Let's do the work that God has left for us to do. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We know that has specific application, but the general application is He's never left us. He's never forsaken us. But we've got work to do. Also, know this, that one must be a member of the body before he or she can be part of it and work in it. So then the question is tonight, are you in your comfort zone? The question is to those who are not members of the body of Christ, are you a member? Now, if you've not done these things, you're indeed not a member, and you need to do these things. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 22 that we must not only hear the word, but we must do it. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But we must hear the word of God so we'll know what to do. We must believe. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, we're told, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must also repent. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but notice the last part of this. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Nobody gets left out. Nobody's exempt. We are also to confess. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Picture this. Having never confessed Jesus Christ before men at the judgment bar, he looks at the Father and says, no, I don't know him. How comforting is that? But we also must be baptized. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, the first part of that passage says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of, or by the authority of the Lord. And then we are to remain faithful unto death. 2 Peter 2, 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Perhaps you're here tonight and you've obeyed the gospel at some point, become a child of God, and you've been in your little comfort zone for a long time. Know that we must work. Perhaps you have found yourself caught up in sin. You're still a Christian, but you're an erring Christian. The Bible is very clear when it teaches in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 what an erring Christian must do to return to God. They must seek him through repentance and prayer. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. You know, we want to help you tonight. You're at a crossroads in your life. Wherever you are, whoever you are at a crossroads. You've got to make a choice. And the choice is yours. You can remain in your little comfort zone and spend eternity where it's not so comfortable. Or you can get out of your comfort zone, get busy with the work that God has left for us to do. Be fruitful and be pleasing to God. Tonight, if you need to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to do so as together we stand.